Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio.
All right, so this happened to me twice yesterday. And I think I understand why they have to do it. I'm all about it. But there's nothing more annoying than getting behind a sand salt truck.
Yeah, no, it happened to me this morning, too. I ended up getting dinged for the congestion pricing again because I was spent probably 12 to 15 miles behind the salt truck going 25 miles an hour.
There is nothing worse than that.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to, you know, I'm working on a new me here, Boomer. Try. So once again, as annoyed as I was about this, I was like, what, I mean, they got to do it.
Yeah, of course they got to do it, because they don't do it, then everybody's screaming and yelling that they're not doing
the
it.
The accidents all over the place.
But if you happen to get behind one of those things, man, it is the worst.
Yeah, and it's really bad because, you know, they'll block the entire, so they have one in every lane of the LIE. So once you're behind it, you're behind it. They don't let anybody go until they end up going off and exiting somewhere.
So I think there were three of them yesterday on Sunrise Highway. I go on a line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm like, how the hell do you get around these things?
Yep.
And then on top of that, I do have like one of those little bullet holes in my my windshield. Mm-hmm. You know, and it has to be definitely from one of the rocks that came off of one of these trucks.
Absolutely. I had to get two new windshields in a matter of 3 weeks recently because of all the crap that's flying around out there.
Safe Flight.
Yeah, they come right to the house. It's great.
They did.
Yeah. That is as easy as possible. You just sit there, you call them up. Well, actually, you could even do it online. And then, bang, pick the appointment. Is it ready to go? Guy shows up. Hey, I'm here. Be done in an hour. I mean, that's as good of a business model as there is.
Right. And insurance actually takes care of that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they absolutely.
Like if your house gets caught on fire or something, they don't cover it.
Different story.
Yeah.
But I was worried that the second time they'd be like, how do you need another new windshield again? I'm like, I'm in the car all the time, man.
Yeah, but it's a little tough when you get behind one of those sand spreaders. Oof.
Yeah, this one guy in front of me was like shucking and diving and trying to get through him and just couldn't, you know? Like in a little.
Sometimes you gotta look for that wide shoulder if he can do it.
Yeah, he was doing that too, but it wasn't gonna happen.
But then you know the lower part of your car, you know, is all like chipped up because of all the stones and everything.
Oh yeah,
it's not really sand; it's like stones.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, if you want to get sand, get it from Glen Oaks.
I mean, it's salt.
That stuff is pure.
It's salt and sand together, is it not?
I think it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they got so much in the supply, in the reserve.
Because they haven't had to use it.
Yeah, haven't had to use it.
So it didn't matter out there using it.
Oh, of course. Any
love
little.
That stuff, you know?
You get a flurry coming. Watch out.
Yeah, the politicians love that crap. Yeah, well, we got those salt spreaders out there, sand spreaders out there. We're doing our jobs.
Yeah.
This is what you pay your taxes for.
You know, the guy, the heck of fire stick guy.
Yes.
He works for the county, Suffolk County, and he would love it when it snowed because he got massive. He was one of the plow trucks out there, and he got, like, just massive overtime for that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No taxes on overtime coming.
All right.
You know, no taxes on tip coming, too. And I was thinking about going to, like, the Olivero and saying, why don't you just pay me, like, one big tip? This way I don't have to pay any taxes.
Yeah. You know, someone's going to try that.
Well, that's the problem. You got to make sure that you when you write the law, it's got to be written right. The other thing I would do is I said, if you make minimum wage, no taxes, no state taxes. Because when they raise minimum wage, what are they also doing? they're raising their state income taxes to make more money. So they're actually, that's how you are now taxing businesses as well.
Sure.
If you think about it. So anybody making minimum wage should not have to pay any state tax. If you really cared about the people making minimum wage, then they shouldn't be paying state tax.
Are you happy TikTok is back?
I'm not on TikTok. It's back at least now. There'll be some fighting going on here over the next 100 days. Are you happy that Anthony Fauci got a pardon today?
No.
Are you happy that the Jan 6 committee got a pardon today?
I don't know. I don't want to go too deep into it, the whole thing today, but yes, the TikTok thing was gone for like 10 or 12 hours and then popped back on. So every one of those TikTok influencers that were out there wondering how they were going to make their money.
Don't worry about it. The train's got you back.
They are back. All right. So will we see Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn both get hired this week? I think one of the two. I don't think Aaron Glenn's going to get a job now.
I would think that Ben Johnson is going to probably come to some agreement.
There's got to be a lot of... So if you think of the teams that are left, no one, I think, is getting... Well, Cliff Kingsbury, maybe. Kingsbury could be hired off the
Commander's
staff.
They don't feel like anybody off of these four staffs are going to be hired.
They're still candidates, though. So, like, Kingsbury could go. Kellen Moore could go. Nobody with the Bills, right? And then Nagy still with the Chiefs. Anybody with the Bills? No, right?
Not really.
No. So yeah. But, the cycle now that you got four more teams that are eliminated has got to pick up.
Well, you would think that two of the guys, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, are ready to rock and roll. If the Jets are all over Aaron Glenn, now's the time.
We're going to find out this week.
Now's the time. But who's the GM? I want to know who the GM is. Yeah. I want to know, really, what I want to know is what the hell are the Bears doing?
Yeah, I have no idea. No clue. So Jeff Ulbrich got the... defensive coordinator job down in Atlanta.
Not surprised, because the Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich work together. They know each other really well. I think they were there their first time under Dan Quinn, maybe. I think they were there.
Yeah.
And if you looked at Atlanta's team, they looked as disorganized as the Detroit Lions did on Sunday or Saturday.
Yeah.
They were just completely just awful defensively. And I think Raheem Morris knew that he needed a coach that was going to come in there and clean that up.
Yeah. I mean, if you want discipline, accountability, and organization, definitely go raid the Jets coaching staff.
Yeah, but that's what I would do. You know, what happened to Jeff is not fair. You know that. I know that. We all know that.
Yeah, well, anyway, he was not supposed to be put in that position. I get it, but...
Whew. You see where Rob Saleh is being offered the highest ever defensive coordinator contract to go back to the 49ers.
Yeah, but I mean, is he still in the mix for the Cowboys job?
He may be.
Man, if I were him, I would almost be like, yeah, I'll just go back to the 49ers, make the dough, still get paid by the Jets.
And go get a Super Bowl.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we'll see what happens if they bounce back next year. All right, we did this a couple weeks ago, and I don't even remember what we all said. Let's do it again now with the jobs that are open, all right? Who's going to go where? Who's going to go where now? All right, so we got the Jets, we got the Raiders, we got the Titans, we got the Bears.
No, the Titans are already filled. Titans have Brian Callahan.
They have the coach. That's right. Jacksonville.
So the Patriots are filled.
Yep. So we got just the four, right?
Six. You got six, right?
Who am I missing? Oh, Saints.
Saints.
Saints. Raiders. I said
you
Raiders.
You got the Jets, Bears, Saints, Cowboys, Jaguars,
Cowboys,
and
Cowboys,
Raiders.
I got it. All right, Cowboys.
Six.
Got it. All right. Cowboys.
Kellen Moore.
All right. I agree with that one. I think that's where he's going to go. Saints.
I want it to be Aaron Glenn.
But
the Jets may end up hiring him.
Yeah, we'll go back to that then. We'll go back to that. Bears.
Either Cliff Kingsbury or Mike McCarthy.
All right, which one? You got to pick one.
I'm going to say Cliff Kingsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury? All right. I'm going to say Mike McCarthy goes there. Jaguars.
I thought for sure it was Ben Johnson.
Still could be.
I think Ben Johnson's now going to go to the Raiders.
All right, so I'll put Ben Johnson, Raiders.
So the Jaguars now, what do you do? It's got to be an offensive guy. Could it be Matt Nagy?
Yeah, could be.
It's got to be an offensive guy, right? It's got to be.
But that's the same base.
Like, where's Brian Flores going?
I'm going to say he's going to go to the Jets.
Could Brian Flores go to the Bears?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, you know, he knows the division, was with the Vikings, knows what's going on.
Yeah, but you said it's got to be an offensive guy.
Right? I feel like it has to be an offensive. But if you told me that Brian Flores was bringing Josh McCown with him to the Bears.
I got Flores going to the Jets.
You got Flores going to the Jets.
That's where I got him going. Okay. Well, you got who you got the Jets head coach being?
I would like it. I'd much rather have it him or Nagy.
You still think they're hiring Aaron Glenn?
I feel like it is.
All right.
Going trending in that direction. But I'd like to know who their GM is, too. Knowing the GM would give me a better sense of who the freaking head coach is going to be.
Still don't have Saints or Jacksonville.
What about Bobby Slowick going to the Jaguars?
Yeah, it could happen.
I actually thought he had a great game plan against Kansas City. He had guys wide open all over the place.
What other offensive guys are out there? You mentioned Josh McCown. We mentioned Bobby Slowick.
Ben Johnson.
Well, Ben Johnson, we know that. The other hot...
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, you mentioned him. Any other hot offensive coordinators out there?
Not necessarily, no. I what would you call Mike McCarthy?
I mean, he's a grizzled vet. That's what you call him.
He's not a hot offensive coordinator.
No, he's certainly not.
Although their offense was one of the best offenses when he had everybody healthy and they were going to the playoffs.
Yeah, he's a head coach. He's a grizzled veteran head coach.
Calls plays.
Definitely does.
Matt Nagy's offensive.
He is. Not hot.
No.
But definitely head coach experience.
But head coach experience, which I think is important for a lot of reasons. I mean, I can't even, like, I think about this. I just think about sideline organization. I think about meeting organization. I think about practice organization. I think about holding players accountable. Making, you know, it's one thing to connect with players. That's great. You got to connect with them. I get it. But I also believe internally within a football player, they want discipline. They may not realize it, but they need it, they crave it, and they have to have it. And you got to be able to show up to practice, can't be late to meetings like they were down in Miami that Mike McDaniel was talking about after his season was over.
Yeah.
Man, that's what I worry about with the Jets, because there are a lot of personalities here. Like the Garrett Wilsons of the world and the Sauce Gardeners of the world, whoever you hire better be buttoned up and better have their act together and make sure that they are organized.
What about Ravens offense coordinator Todd Monken?
He's another one. He's another one that's getting a lot of interviews. And
he's an older guy, though.
He is an older guy. He's been around a lot. Been around a lot of football. And, you know, the one thing I will say, you know, the Ravens are a button-up organization. They're always a successful organization. They run a tight ship. Don't seem like they have very many problems. And if there are problems, they usually get rid of the guy.
You know what? As I look at this list, nothing's knocking my socks off.
Nothing's knocking your socks off.
Nope. Any one of these names knock your socks off? No.
There's not a knock your socks off type of guy, I don't think.
That
knock your socks off type of guy has already been hired by the Patriots.
I mean, maybe you want to see Ben Johnson, but Ben Johnson hasn't coached before.
He ain't coming here.
Right. And he also, in the biggest game of his life, ended up calling a pass from a wide receiver to a running back who threw an interception.
If Ben Johnson has a general manager prospect that he wants to work with and feels comfortable with, then they're going to Las Vegas.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think we feel like that's happening. It's just Jacksonville and the Saints.
How about the Bears, man? Bears got a good team, top-end division. Maybe Brian Flores there with Josh McCown?
Hope not.
Supposedly Josh McCown is like, he is trending to be a head coach one of these days. He really connects with people, supposedly carries himself really well, buttoned up, organized. You know, I'm sure he already has a playbook of how he would run everything. I just don't know if that would play here in New York. That's the only thing. I know he played here in New York, so he knows what he would be stepping into. I just don't know if his, he would be like, he was up for the Texans job. He could be up for the Jaguars job. I could see that.
How come Bill O'Brien's not in the mix anywhere?
Maybe he doesn't want to be.
Doesn't want to be back in the NFL.
I mean, if he wanted interviews, his agent would get him interviews.
Do you think that if Spagnuolo took a job?
That's another guy.
Do you think if he took a job, Nagy would be his offensive coordinator, he'd stay in Kansas City?
He'd stay in Kansas City.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Anybody knocking your socks off?
Well, Mike Vrabel did.
Yeah, okay. I'm talking about the guys now. Nope.
No, I don't think so. I just, like, everybody is just, like, to me, for the Jets, I just think it has to be an ex-head coach, somebody who's been through the grind before, and somebody who's got an answer and connects with the players, of course, and maybe that's Aaron, but I don't know, man. I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah, me either.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is here, has an update moment of the day on this frigid Monday morning. What's happening, Jerry?
Well, good morning. We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Dr. Jay Shaw at Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. There was a lot, obviously, in the Bills-Ravens game last night. Obviously, when you score and you go for the two-point conversion to tie the game with 90 seconds to go, and this happens, it gets a lot of play.
Play clock down to 5. Here's the snap. Jackson rolling right, looking to toss it, and dropping the football. Incomplete is Mark Andrews. It wasn't a well-thrown ball at all. It was behind Andrews, and he could not come up with it. Falling away from the pass, it's incomplete. Wow.
And that was Bills Radio with the call. Then the Ravens would not get the onside kick, and the Bills would wind up holding on for the 27-25 win and a trip to the AFC Championship game in Kansas City on Sunday night. Here's Lamar Jackson. Yeah, a lot of people are going to blame Mark Andrews, but that's not fair because, boy, oh, boy, I screwed up a lot myself.
We're a team. First half, I had 2 costly turnovers, me not holding the safety, me just knowing the coverage, me knowing it was man, through a BS interception. It was 7-7 at the time. I believe they scored after that. Fumble.
Yep, he would go on to talk about just too many self-inflicted wounds as a group.
That's why we lost the game, because as you can see, we're moving the ball wonderfully. It's hold on to the ball. I'm sorry for my language. It's annoying. I'm tired of
Yeah. On the other side, though, the Bills are going to Kansas City. Here was Josh Allen with Tracy Wolfson on CBS on the Field postgame. Message to the critics.
All year, this team has heard, we got no talent. We're too small. We can't stop the run. We're not good enough to compete. We just put our head down and worked hard.
They worked hard.
You know, I don't know what he's listening to. I know that you have to have some sort of rallying cry, and being an underdog in a home playoff game is a huge rallying cry. So I can understand that is part of your incentive, but most people during the year were saying that he was the MVP of the league and that they were, you know, a great team and that they were going to have a really good shot at getting to the Super Bowl, and I don't know where that all comes from.
Yeah, I mean, that was, but a lot of people, I mean, even during the broadcast, they were talking, Tony Romo, the bigger guys, smaller guys, bigger guys.
It was true. I mean, look what Derrick Henry did, and at the end of the day, it really comes down to turnovers. And
yeah, but I mean, I think where he got it from was the fact that a lot of people were saying that. They were a home dog for the first time in a long time.
Also, when they got rid of Steph Diggs, everybody thought they were going to take a step back this year, pick them 3rd in the AFC East behind the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And here they are.
Here they are.
I don't know. I feel like all year long we've been talking about Josh Allen, except for that game in Baltimore where he has been Superman, where he's just been awesome. They've been awesome. And they are an undersized defense, so that's factual.
Yeah, but he's using it as motivation.
And it's working. It is working. Now, they will play the Chiefs, of course. They beat the Texans Saturday. Here was D'Amico Ryan's postgame. We've discussed all these officiating calls this morning right from the start. So here was D'Amico Ryan's when asked about it postgame.
Yeah, we knew going into this game, man, it was us versus everybody. Right? When I say everybody, is everybody. All of whatever. Everybody, the naysayers, the doubt, right? Everybody.
Everybody. And of course, when you do a football show on CBS Sports Network, like Adam Schein hosts, he also was not happy with the way the game was called.
My say what from yesterday. The officiating in the Houston-Kansas City game was awful. It was deplorable. It was game-changing. It was some of the worst officiating I have ever seen.
And then he would talk about the one that we discussed, too. Bills guys ran into one another.
Texans.
Yeah, keep doing that. The Texans, yes.
That's like a clown car when the comedians get out of the... Ooh, they run into each other. Throw a flag on that? Come on. And you make the point. And we talked about all the positive things earlier, Kyle. Oh, Patrick Mahomes is great. Come on.
And then we had Troy Aikman, who was railing. I don't say railing, but he was very critical of Patrick Mahomes, the officiating. So they won't say anything about this, right? I mean, they'll just kind of move on like nothing happened.
I would think
the
so.
The NFL.
I mean, yeah. No, yeah, why would they say
I don't know. In the NBA, when they get calls wrong, they do acknowledge that they got calls
wrong.
Well,
they may come out this week and say it was probably the wrong call, but there's really nothing they can do about it other than do that. And they have done that, you know, consistently over the years. And I think that all started with Mike Pereira, when he was the head of officiating for the NFL, and then Mr. Dean Blandino got in there, and he would give press conferences on Monday talking about Sunday mistakes.
Yeah, I think that you're not going to get a lot of controversial calls like that in this game. I think it really shines a spotlight on it when it's a team like the Texans, and you don't want the Texans to move on. What you're not going to see is anything that the Chiefs are not going to be favored in any way. With officiating against the Bills. I don't think so.
We're watching one of these highlights with Will Anderson Jr. hitting Patrick Mahomes, and there was a flag thrown there. And then you compare that hit to the hit that Jared Goff got after the interception. It's not even close.
Yeah, I got to look at that. I know what you're saying. It's just different
it's
when you're throwing
you cannot,
the ball, and then like when you're now you're on defense if you're a quarterback.
But I'm just telling you, it's a rule, and they said it in the game that play should have been called a defenseless player, and it should have been roughing.
Is that apply to everybody, or is that applied just to the quarterback?
Just to the quarterback, and it's something that
even when
changed.
He's not the quarterback because of possession change.
Yeah, yes, they did that because of what these deep. They know what's going on here, so watch this here.
No,
so
I know. This I've, is I've a watched this 10,000 times.
It's I know 10, it's a defensive lineman. It's going to just absolutely de-cleat. It's outside linebacker, I think, or safety.
But is he defenseless?
It's helmet. His crown of the helmet hit him in the chin. Helmet to head.
What's a block?
High neck quarterback is the same player.
So is there a penalty on every single offensive lineman every time that they block a defensive lineman because they hit each other in the helmet?
You're not understanding what I'm saying.
No, I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying.
No, the quarterback is 100% protected at all times on the field is what I'm saying.
Okay, that rule has been that was changed. All right.
It's been, because we, as quarterbacks, used to be fresh meat when we used to throw interceptions. That's why Dan Marino never got involved. He'd throw the interception and walk to the sideline. Because, screw it. Somebody else handle it.
Jerry, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Because, and not only that, there's a lot of running backs that will lower their shoulder and make contact with their helmet, with the other defender's helmet. By rule, you would think that's a penalty,
that,
too.
That is a penalty.
But they don't call it.
But they can call that a penalty on the running backs.
But that's the inconsistency that drives you crazy.
Yes.
They don't.
That's the word, inconsistency.
And you're right. When the linemen, when they engage, it's usually helmet to helmet.
Because, that was a block. But I guess if you're telling me there's different rules for a quarterback who's not even a quarterback in that situation.
100%. You're always a quarterback at all times, no matter what, and you are protected.
I say we change the rules, by the way. Quarterback scrambles. He's now a football player. No more of this sliding crap.
Well,
it's not
what?
Fair to the defensive players.
You see like Lamar yesterday, Josh yesterday, they did run up into the into the line of scrimmage, and they did get tackled like they were running backs.
Good.
The problem comes is when Patrick Mahomes is playing games on the sideline. Am I going in? Am I going out? What am I doing? And then the defenders have to commit, and then he puts them in a bad position, and a flag comes out. That's the frustration, and Patrick plays that. He's done that a number of times where you see he'll look like he's going out of bounds and then go up the field and then go out of bounds.
Are kickers and punters protected like fresh meat too?
They are.
Are they really?
Yes.
So if a kicker or a punter gets launched in the air like Jared Goff was, that's also a penalty.
But only if it's helmet to helmet, you're saying?
Yes, this was a helmet to helmet hit. This was above. You cannot hit the quarterback above the shoulder pads. I'm just saying.
But I'm just trying to say. Like, if
did
it was
you
a
not
clear,
hear
that?
It was a
clean.
It?
I told you, I don't really pay attention to broadcasts. I sat there, I watched it. I was laughing so hard when that was going on. I didn't hear anything that anybody was saying.
Right, and whoever who did that game, that was Fox, right? So Mike Pereira came on and said, "Yeah, that should have been a penalty. That should not have been a touchdown."
Okay. But if you block the hell out of the guy cleanly and lift him up in the air.
Yeah. If you just push him, it's one thing. But if you hit with your helmet in his head, it's going to be.
Can you at least agree with me on this? A little confusing.
Well, I don't even know if the officials knew the rules. That's the thing that's confusing to me because it was so apparent.
Well,
I didn't know
that rule. Did you know that rule, Jerry?
I did not. I thought once the turnover happens, you're just one of 11.
That's what I thought.
Nope.
And like you say, yeah, fresh meat. Like,
right.
Go find the corner.
Exactly. Also, so you see the guy that was blocking him originally? you see the guy who was blocking him originally?
Yeah.
That's fine. That is completely fine.
Yeah.
You launch yourself with the crown of your helmet into his helmet, into his chin. That's a penalty. And it should have been called.
I just ordered that poster, by the way. Sorry, bud.
That's tough.
I mean, he was actually on Fanatics looking for Jaden Daniels' uniform jersey.
Yeah, it's just not going to come in time for the championship game. So no. I did look it up.
Hmm.
I love that guy. Absolutely love him.
The Eagles beat the Rams 28-22, which is why they will play Jaden Daniels and the Commanders in the NFC title game. Jalen Hurts only threw for .128, but he ran for 70 yards with a 44-yard touchdown run. But the game did come down to the final possession where the Rams had an opportunity down 6.
Fourth down and 11. Stafford takes the snap. Looking. Stafford throws to the right side. It's incomplete. Philadelphia's going to hold up. Intended for Nacua. The celebration starts in the city of brotherly love.
I gotta tell you, as a fan, if I was a Rams fan, I would have preferred him just to throw the ball straight up into the air, into the middle of the field, to give someone a chance to catch it.
Yes,
because that thing went, they just sailed it out of bounds, and it was such a nice drive, too. But 28-22 the final. Here was Saquon Barkley, 205 yards rushing, 62 and 78-yard touchdown runs. He says, but this was a team victory.
The most important thing is winning football games, especially around this time of year. Or whatever it takes, the defense, man, our defense is special, making plays for us. Of course, we're going to go back and watch and see what we can do better offense. The O-line did a great job for us, and we made enough plays and got the win.
Here was Jalen Hurts, who says nothing easy about winning this game.
I want to give a ton of credit to the team we just played. You know, they've evolved as the year's gone on, and offensively, defensively, been very, very efficient in what they do.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford threw for 324, a couple of touchdowns, but they did turn the ball over a couple of times, and that certainly hurt. And then you had the story of Jared Verse, who had fun with the Philly fans, talked about how much he hated their fans and hated Philadelphia. So some of the Philly fans took out billboards in the Philadelphia area with that quote and his picture. Here he was post-game after it was all said and done.
I like hostile environments. That don't mean nothing to me. It doesn't faze me. It hypes me up more, if anything. It's not like I'm finna shy away or get nervous or anything like that. Nah, that turns me up. That hypes me up. BY was feeding off it. I was feeding off it. Kobe was feeding off it. We love it.
And they did play well. But
they're going to be a good team. They got a young defense. They got a lot of good young players. Hopefully they keep Matthew Stafford for another couple of years. Maybe they make another run at it.
And they went after Hurts, too. A lot of sacks.
Yeah, but he holds onto the ball.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I mean, he and Sam Darnold, it's almost like the same thing. Not every sack you can get away from, but, man, some of these sacks that he took yesterday were really bad sacks. And there were guys open short of the first down marker. Let them go make a play, especially on a slippery field.
So they will play the Commanders. Here's Jared Goff. They wound up losing to Washington Saturday night. Tough night. They were picked off 4 times. I know he was 3. And then was it Jameson Williams threw the other one, I think it was, right on the reverse?
Yes.
Yeah. Lost a fumble. Here was Goff. Really such a great season, yet it ends this way.
It's a humbling game. It's a humbling sport. And we were on the top of the world after that Minnesota game. And then it's hard standing here right now and trying to process it all.
And that one video that keeps going around is the video of Dan Campbell and your guy Vikings head coach.
Kevin O'Connell.
We'll see in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, and then they're on a beach.
Right, exactly.
They earned all that.
Tonight, Atlanta College Football National Championship game. You've got 13-2 Ohio State against 14-1 Notre Dame. Here is Irish head coach Marcus Freeman. It's been some year.
When I think about this journey and this season, you know, there's a lot of gratitude I have to be on this journey with not just the players, but with all the coaches and the staff, the men and women that are involved in our program and the efforts they put into us being in this position.
We have made college football now almost as long as the NFL season.
Oh, yeah.
It's January 20th, and they're playing tonight.
Yeah, I saw this report out. Ryan Day was prepping his guys back in August for the longest college football season ever, and we're going to take some time off and this and that and yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's true, though. It's insane how long this is going.
Sure is. Anyway, that'll be tonight. They will start right after 7:30. The Nets did lose last night. The Knicks take on the Hawks this afternoon at 3 p.m. The Dodgers signing relief pitcher Tanner Scott to a four-year deal. You got Rutgers Penn State tonight on the Fan at 6:30. Canadians beat the Rangers in overtime 5-4. The Devils lost to the Senators 2-1. Islanders Blue Jackets coming up later tonight. And with that, time for moment of the day. And so you remember, you had Al called Josh Allen wuss boy. He made headlines with his take on Caleb Williams. He was the radio expert.
Talk show legend.
Yes. Yeah. That said he'll never cut it in New York because he's crying in the stands with his mom.
Yeah.
So now he's taking aim at Patrick Mahomes. He's annoyed that Mahomes and the way he tries to deceive defenders and bait officials into calling penalties.
He's the one who's making him. If he's this guy that we all put as the, oh, he's so great, him personally is making a mockery of the sport and trying to cheat. Tom Brady didn't flop. Tom Brady would get hit and they'd throw the flags. That's on the refs. He's purposely trying to get calls by flopping.
On that play, yes.
He does it all the time. It's such a pathetic way to play the game. He should be embarrassed that that's how he is choosing to play football. And he's the most embarrassing in all of football. Nobody else does that in football. He's the only one.
Al, get Patrick Mahomes. I'm calling.
He might get hurt picking up the phone. Fall down.
You know, basically, it's the same situation. I know it's a totally different sport, and it looks worse in football, but it's the same situation as an NBA superstar.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course.
Same exact thing. Like, you're going to every time I go into the lane, you're going to call a penalty? Well, okay. I mean, a foul?
Look at this.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
Look at this. Me and Patrick Mahomes throwing out dudes back and forth against.
Surprised he didn't fall down.
Nah, you know what? He was just a kid at that time.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, he had respect for the game. Yeah, that was back in the day. Yeah, back before he ruined football.
There you go, guys.
This is what they should do at the combine, like to find out whether or not guys got strong enough arms.
Just throw a human back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think Al's got some misplaced anger. I think that he's taken on all these other quarterbacks. He really wants to take you on, but he can't. So he takes on all these other quarterbacks: Josh Allen, right? Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy. Caleb Williams.
Brock Purdy, I forgot about that, where he thinks he just quit on his team.
Well, I agree with him with that one. The other one's... But yeah, I think that's what it is. He's just got this disdain for quarterbacks, and he can't say anything to you, so he just wipes everybody else out. That's what I think's going on.
Possible.
Yeah. Therapy session. All right, Jerry, we'll see you tomorrow.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. At what age could I expect my daughter to start shoveling snow? She's going to be 7 years old February 10th, like 10 years old.
I'm just trying to think.
It was a boy. I'd already have him shoveling snow.
I can't say I remember Sydney shoveling snow.
All right, but you, okay. So you're saying no, I can't have
it? Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Unless you pay her, unless she's into it.
I mean, yeah, she should be into it.
$10, or do you think it should be part of her family responsibilities?
Part of her family responsibilities, just one area.
Chores.
Yeah, just one area.
Well, chores, take out the garbage.
Yeah,
shovel the driveway, pick up the poop in the backyard. Well, you get that pooper scooper guy coming, right?
No, I cannot. That is a level of laziness that I even can't reach.
Duty calls.
I mean, as much as I like supporting the local, but if you can't pick up your dog's crap,
okay,
all the time I have at home.
Yeah,
in the winter time.
I would say to Sabrina, you wanted a dog, get out there and clean up the poop.
Yeah, still a little too young. Still okay. Six. I mean, I just think, you know, she's
going to be seven, what, in a couple weeks?
Yeah. But, like, I see that. So, with, you know, Gina sends me this picture of the girls, you know, having fun in the snow and the dogs. And I'm like, all right, good. Yeah, he said, give him a shovel. You know, I mean, everybody's having fun in the snow. If daddy's driving in, daddy's got to go home, shovel it out. Everybody's having a great time.
Daddy's got to drive here. Daddy's got to drive there. Daddy's driving
there. Granted, everybody's in their little winter wonderland and a little snow globe out there. But, you know, reality sets in.
Daddy paycheck.
So you think 10 years old, I think I'm going to give her a shovel. See how she does.
She's going to look at you like, what? Are you kidding?
Tough. Let's go. I don't mess around. I think we need to get some real responsibility going in this household. You know, if you want to go play in the snow for the rest of the day, fine. Go shovel the walkway. Then you can play in the snow the rest
okay,
of the day.
Okay, tough guy. Good luck. Good luck with that one.
I mean she's 10 years old. She's going to tell me no?
It's not just convincing her. It's convincing the boss of the house.
I think Gina would love that. I think she'd be all about that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
How that goes.
Why do you think? I mean, I'm not asking her to go play in traffic. I mean, I'm asking her to shovel the walkway.
No, I know.
You really think I'm not going to be able to get away with that, huh? I'll do, I don't have it doesn't snow really all that much anymore the last couple of years.
And you don't have that big of a walkway, do you?
No, you know what it is? So there's a sidewalk on my street that even though it's not part of my property, it really is my responsibility.
That's what people tell you.
To clean, so.
They tell it's your responsibility, but you can't put trees there. You can't do anything else, but it's your responsibility.
But there is a bus stop right there. And,
again,
the kids
a
are
lack
walking
of freedom
there.
And liberty.
So, you know, that's the big pain in the ass is that sidewalk. That's the thing.
Okay.
But the driveway also, you know, I got stones. So that's a
tough one to get when you get plowed, if you do get plowed.
Yeah.
Because then the stones get moved all around and then they get wrapped up in the snow. And then when the snow melts and you got a big pile of stones.
Getting plowed these days? Yeah, I don't get plowed anymore.
I don't get plowed anymore. Okay.
No. I just, with the driveway, like if it's 3 inches like we had here, I'm not even going out there and dealing with it. I just the cars will take care of it.
The thing about the city is that everything melts because the steam pipes underneath the roads.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
Unless there's a ginormous heavy snowstorm, the roads are just naturally melt themselves.
They melt themselves. Yeah, everything was clean. I was thrilled this morning. I think that everybody out there did a tremendous job on Long Island. What about Jersey, Al? Was everything good?
Yeah, very clean. I was surprised.
And you saw an adult draw a penis and balls in the snow on a car the other day?
Yeah, I saw an adult who was walking a dog. He came across this car and he drew a penis and testicles on it.
Yeah, I'd love to know if he knew the person, you know, whose car that was.
Yeah, he did the drawing, he took a photo, and he kept walking his dog.
He probably knew the guy's car, maybe. You would think.
Did you call anybody to tell him?
No, but I was
vandalism. Like he didn't do his car. It was somebody else's car.
I was keeping an eye out to see if somebody came back to the car puzzled as to why there was a penis and testicles drawn on their vehicle. Then I would have said, "Yeah, just some dude walked by and did it."
You never found the guy who was putting up those bumper stickers of Al Dukes takes naked poops.
No,
man, that guy came in and out. What a mystery!
Yeah, hopefully there'll be unsolved mysteries about it, and we can get some.
Remember that?
Guy yeah, I do.
Plastering I that all over the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
People taking pictures. We had no idea who it was.
And he was using such cheapo stickers that they were hard to get off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know what? It had to be one of the guys that Al called the cops on. It had to be.
Yeah, but
one
I mean,
of the 10.
Yeah, exactly. Take your choice. But I mean, it sounded like someone who actually liked Al. Like, you could have put all, if you really hated Al, you could have put something way worse on that. Like, taking naked poops is like someone who's a podcast listener or a show listener. He was having some fun with it. I mean, think about all the bumper stickers you could put up there if you really hated Al.
Yeah.
Things you'd have him doing, you know? So I don't think that was it. I think it was a guy who liked Al. But, like, I appreciate, I mean, obviously, if you listen to the show, you know how sophomoric and childish we could be at times. I appreciate an adult who's going up and drawing that penis and balls on that car. You know, don't let go. Don't let go of that humor. Be that little kid. Find that inner teenager of yours, you know? Keep it going. You know, when you're too old to draw a penis and balls on a car in the snow, you know, you're basically dead.
In New York, we would get you on videotape. You know, out there, do you guys have videotape on the streets?
We do. We could. I mean, in New York, you could assault somebody on the, you know, in their car, and it'd be no problem.
Okay.
They're definitely not arresting somebody for drawing a penis in the snow.
Man, I was, the other day, I saw they had set up one of those traps, like on the right-hand track, like you're turning right with a pedestrian thing, and the cop's waiting for you if you're
like
the pedestrian.
Yes.
So I saw that, and I was just like, man, you guys are still, even with the congested pricing, you're still setting everybody up.
Dude, you have speed tickets, speed cameras, you have red light cameras, you have congestion pricing, you got tolls, you got, come on, man, you got it all. You got gas tax. They're trying to get money any which way they possibly can. You know that.
Yep, I do. Boomer and Geo on the fan, yeah, CBS Sports Network. Just a big old smile on my face. January, it's my favorite time of year, really. It's right now. It's just awesome. I love dark, cold, and windy.